I am glad that you have joined me again today as we continue to learn who God is. And this week we're learning that God is just. God is just. God's justice is tied together tightly with God's righteousness. As we learned last time, in English, righteousness and justice are two separate words. Not so in Hebrew and Greek, the original languages of the Bible. When Bible translators take the root stem of the Greek word and turn it into English, they get two words. And those two words are right and just. The words are right and just. So we can talk about the words right, righteous, and righteousness. And we can also talk about the words just, justice, and justify. In English, these are two sets of words, but in Greek, they are not. In the Greek language, this is one set of words. So language is very important. We have to understand what words mean. You see, the theology comes out of the words. I derive my theology, my understanding of who God is, from the Word of God. We cannot talk about the righteousness of God without talking about the justice of God. And we cannot talk about the justice of God without also talking about the righteousness of God. They go together. Since God chose Greek to be the language of the New Testament, and since God does not make any mistakes, then he must have known what language would best communicate to us who he is. And therefore, he intended that his righteousness and his justice be understood together. And so as we learn about the justice of God this week, we will be learning about the righteousness of God. And that is why during a conversation about the righteousness of God, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, I now take us into a detailed conversation about the justice of God. But here is what's difficult for us when we embark on a conversation about the justice of God. In this world in which you and I live, we often do not know justice. We do not see it in action. Rather, we experience injustice. Injustice can be defined as the absence of justice. People are unjust. While God may well be just, we think, our experience with people is the opposite. And we would include institutional injustice, for example, in our government, our courts, our police departments, our schools, and even our religious institutions, all practice injustice. The Bible definitely acknowledges this. God is dealing with the unjust actions of his own people in the Bible's Old Testament. The book of Isaiah, for example, is full of the word of God against injustice. Let me give you a sampling so that you understand that God has been looking at injustice in his creation for a long time. A people can really sin something fierce, and often this sin takes the form of unjust actions against God himself and unjust actions against other people. Isaiah, right in chapter 1 in verses 21 to 22, says how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, and that's quite an indictment. God is saying you were faithful, past tense, but now you're like a prostitute. And notice that they are prostituting themselves to injustice. He says the righteousness once lodged in her, lodged in, lived in. But now there are murders. And then this vivid word picture, your silver is dross. Dross means worthless. Wow. Silver, that precious metal, turned worthless, and your drink diluted with water. Now, how many of you drink wine and want a fine wine to be diluted with water? Well, that's what injustice is like, according to God. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 23, your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. That's a classic absence of justice. Bribes, failure to defend the orphan and supply for the needs of the widows. We have a lot of that today. Bribery at the highest levels of our government and judicial system, and of course, in business. And when this important ministry to orphans and widows that God has given to the Christian person is ignored, that is an injustice. What is your church or Christian school and college doing for the orphans and for the widows in our midst today? And continue with me in your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 1. This is now Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 1. Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions. God is angry. Woe. That is a severe red alert warning to people that God's judgment is imminent. Evil statutes, in other words, unjust laws not given by God, and those, note the language, unjust decisions. Unjust decisions. Well, we certainly have that today, don't we? And this is what we've gotten used to. In our corrupt society, we hardly know what true justice looks like and feels like. So when we come to uncover God's righteousness and God's justice in the scriptures, we are stunned by it. We cannot imagine that such pure justice exists. And how does the Lord feel about all this injustice? Still in Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 14 through 15, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. The Lord is clearly displeased. And so what does God call for? Listen to Hosea chapter 12 and verse 6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. That is Hosea 12 and verse 6. And you can find Hosea in the Old Testament just before the book of the better-known prophet Joel. And in Isaiah 1 and verse 17, God calls for repentance on behalf of his people. Isaiah 1 and verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. The same is true in Psalm chapter 82 and verse 3, vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Yes, what does God want his people to do about injustice? He wants us to correct it and imitate him by being just ourselves. Christ's people must practice justice. So how about you? How about me? In our engagement with others, are we just? This question definitely applies to judges and police officers listening to me, but it is broader than that. This is a message for all of us. Do you parents act justly towards your children? Teachers towards your students, business executives to your employees, government officials to the public? Do we act justly towards one another in our everyday, seemingly mundane activities? Will you act with justice today? Have you acted with justice today? The Lord Jesus gets at this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 when he speaks plainly and directly to us. He says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, wise words. Don't you want people to treat you justly? Then do the same for them. To follow Christ means to do what he says to do. Therefore, today, treat others the way that you want to be treated. Be obedient to Jesus Christ. Again, I want to quote my favorite Puritan and one of my all-time most beloved theologians, Thomas Watson. Quote, if you have anything of God in you, you will be like him. Unquote. If you have anything of God in you, you will be like him. I love that. That challenges me very much. That is very convicting to me. And what does it mean to be like God? It means to be just, to act justly, to care deeply about justice in our communities. back in the book of Job, there is a stunning picture of righteousness and judgment. I just love how the Bible gives us such vivid word pictures. Righteousness and judgment are pictured as the clothing of robes and a turban. I will read this from Job chapter 29 and verse 14. And this is God speaking. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Imagine that God is dressed in clothes. Now, he does not dress in clothes. God is spirit. God doesn't need clothes. Only humans need clothes. But he communicates to us in words that we can understand. He paints a picture of himself for us. And if God did wear clothes, then he would appear wearing righteousness and his robe and turban. So his headdress would be justice. How about that? If you could picture in your mind God, then his clothing would be righteousness and justice. What an amazing picture. That tells us a lot about God. See what a difference there is between God and us? See what a difference there is between the perfect world that God created and what we have done to his world by our sin? Today, I am acknowledging that when we talk about the justice of God, we have to admit that we live in our society full of injustice, an absence of justice. But we have cause for hope. Christ's people can live justly by his grace and by his strength. We can change the world slowly and quietly by supporting the widow and orphan, by acting justly in our calling, in our homes, and in our cities, towns, and country. Be just like God. And tomorrow on God Is, we will continue to learn that God is just. I used a lot of scripture today, so I'll put these references on the God Is Facebook and Twitter pages so that you can read them on your own. Just go to God Is, W-E-Z-E, that's God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook and Twitter, and these will be there. And then please come along and join me tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is just.